welcome one and all. And here, out there, to The Late Show, I am your host, Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. I'm excited, too. You can feel the excitement in this room. I'm excited, too. Listen, this is our last week, and I have an exciting announcement. No, this is actually very exciting. We may be canceled. But apparently, The Late Show has outlived the Constitution of the United States. Because yesterday, without any congressional or court approval, completely unilaterally, Donald Trump gave himself a $1.8 billion taxpayer-fueled slush fund. You might remember that in January, President Trump and his two sons, Uday and Kusei, filed a $10 billion lawsuit against the IRS, alleging that, during his first administration, the IRS willfully failed to safeguard the Trump's tax information from unauthorized disclosure by a former IRS contractor, Charles E. Littlejohn. Now, I gotta ask, Mr. Littlejohn, did you actually do that?
Yeah!
No. Yvonne, not that Littlejohn.
What?
I'm talking about the IRS guy, Charles E. Littlejohn.
Okay!
Can we please just move on now?
Yeah!
Thank you. The judge in the case seemed highly skeptical of this lawsuit. So to get around the court's oversight, yesterday, Trump's lawyers and Trump's DOJ, him on both sides, agreed to drop the case and set up this slush fund. And who exactly is this fund slushing? Well, one group of lucky slushies could be people prosecuted in connection with the January 6th Capitol riot. That means people who stormed the Capitol, rubbed their poop on the walls, assaulted police officers, and tried to hang Vice President Mike Pence could be getting this cash. But they won't because Trump's going to steal it all. Why is that my educated guess? Because the funds are going to be managed by a 5-person commission appointed by the Attorney General, though Trump would have the right to remove any member at will. So, I'd like to congratulate the inaugural commission for Donald Trump's slush fund, Marco Rubio. Now, he's from Venezuela. I think that last guy's from Venezuela.
Yeah,
Rubio. Now you might be saying, surely this can't get more corrupt. Shut up. I'm talking, and it can. Because most egregiously, the guidelines announced by the acting attorney general stipulate, once the funds are deposited into the designated account, the United States has no liability whatsoever for the protection or safeguarding of those funds, regardless of bank failure, fraudulent transfers, or any other fraud or misuse of the funds. So it's just an all-you-can-fraud buffet. It's an unprecedented level of grift because, again, funds of this scale typically are either created by an act of Congress or supervised by a court. And this settlement is just some piece of paper they printed out saying that Trump can do anything he wants with a bunch of your money. Officer, you can't arrest me. For you see, I've already laminated my homemade murder license. This is not just fraud is legal now. Today, the Justice Department posted an addendum to the original settlement, which says that the IRS is forever barred and precluded from pursuing examinations of Trump, related or affiliated individuals, and related trusts and businesses. So he just gave himself a get-out-of-jail-free card and a way better one than Jeffrey Epstein got. Yeah. Halfway around the world, somebody owes me money. Halfway around the world, Trump still got his ding-dong caught in the door hinge of the Middle East. Negotiations with Iran have totally stalled, so on Sunday, he went online and posted, "For Iran, the clock is ticking, and they better get moving fast, or there won't be anything left of them. Time is of the essence." You hear that, Iran? Get your act together, or next week, I don't know what'll happen, because I will be in a hammock, ass deep in a piña colada. We'll be right back. and a fantasy romance novel about centaurs. It's called Trampled by Passion. This time, Trump backed up his tough talk with some powerful AI slop. He posted this image where he's pressing the big red button that blows up the Earth. There's a whole bunch of stupid stuff in that picture. He appears also to be blowing up his own command console, which, of course, would endanger his teeny tiny generals on either side of him.
Mr. President, there's a fire! Quick, everyone, into the shoe!
So, Trump is clearly ready to annihilate Iran, and I'm sorry, what is that? Oh, Trump says he's called off an attack on Iran to give talks more time. I gotta say, these threats are getting less and less effective the more he keeps dragging them out. You wanna step outside, bro? Oh, you do? Well, it's kinda chilly out there, so I'm gonna grab my jacket from coat check. Okay, it looks like there's a pretty long line, so it might be a while, and I don't have singles for a tip, so let me just go to the bar. You want something while I'm in there? I'm by, and you can hang out with my girlfriend till I'm back. Then it is go time, bro time. I don't understand why you did that, but I accept. Today, Trump let us know why he's decided to take a Mideast chill pill.
Other countries have come to me and they've said, we were getting ready to do a very major attack tomorrow. I've put it off for a little while. Hopefully, maybe forever, but possibly for a little while.
Fun fact, hopefully, maybe forever, but possibly for a little while, is also a direct quote from Trump's wedding vows. That's an oldie but a goodie.
Yep.
Today, amidst the news that he's sucking up billions of taxpayer dollars like a shop vac, Trump headed out to the pile of rubble where the East Wing used to be to talk ballroom, I think, because it was a little loud.
Give that to y'all home.
As his polls get worse and worse, you know he's just going to keep finding louder and louder places to answer questions.
I will now answer your questions about Iran while I froth this latte. I can't hear you. I also can't answer because I'm making the sound with my own mouth. Don't know how the machine works.
Trump gave us a preview of the state-of-the-art construction job.
It's a very complex building. It's all knit together. The roof goes with the ground floor. The ground floor goes with the roof. The roof also goes down into the basement.
Oh. Really? That's fascinating, Mr. President. You may not know this, sir, but there's actually a special word for when the roof goes all the way down to the basement. And that word is walls. It has walls. You build a building. It has a floor and a roof. And in between, then he bragged about the classical architecture style.
Take a look at this section. This is the different facade. So this is a Greek. More or less, it comes out of Greece. This is the ultimate facade for Greece.
Oh, yes. Yes, Greece. I believe Greece is the word. Tell me more, what is wrong with your brain? Tell me more, were you on Jeffrey's plane? We got a great show for you tonight.
Coming up, Jon Stewart.
Ladies and gentlemen, Not only are the greatest, are they the greatest band, but they got the biggest hearts. They have a new album that is being sold right now. The Great Big Joy Machine, right there. They're auctioning off a very special signed copy of Lewis Cato and the Great Big Joy Machine's album today. Super exclusive, one of one, late show collectible signed by the entire band and yours truly, because Lewis and I sing on it together. Mm-hmm. All proceeds go to Music Cares.
What does
that do, Lewis? What does we talk about Music Cares?
Music Cares is an incredible organization that provides financial support for musicians of all creeds and levels. They actually helped me through pandemic myself when we were going through all of our stuff. They make it possible for musicians to continue to live while making a living. So
great. Yeah. Scan the QR code right there. Go place your bid. Yeah. Now, ladies and gentlemen, my friends, folks, my first guest tonight is the absolute best. He is a talented comedian and a 2002 Teen Choice Award nominee. Please welcome back to The Late Show, my dear friend and yours, Mr. Jon Stewart.
It's so nice.
To hear them
chant for Steven Spielberg is just
so generous.
It's so generous of them. Yep. I just want to tell you just the kind of friend that Stephen Colbert is to me and how necessary he is in my life as my dear friend. We're backstage. I'm back there waiting to come on to The Late Show to celebrate my friend. Not to eulogize this show, but to celebrate it and the joy that it's brought to so many people. And the people may not be aware. I don't dress very well.
No. I assume that under that you are also wearing sweatpants.
That's probably right. So I'm back there and I'm dressed up and I figure, well, this is special. I should probably button my suit. But I don't know. There's two buttons. And I chose wrong. I chose the low button, and my good friend Stephen Colbert, who spotted it like a falcon from his desk, soared over and went, buddy, may I? Flip, 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 flip.
Yep.
And then when I came out here, you very calmly, so that the people don't know what an idiot I am, go, you might want to
before you sit down.
That's what we're dealing with. This is a lovely man.
Can I put a little cherry on that?
Put a cherry on top.
Here's the thing.
A cherry on top.
This is what I learned. This is what I learned years ago.
Yeah.
I learned years ago. I learned this from Anderson Cooper, actually.
Oh.
Okay? Natalie dressed. The man, he's got style. He said to me, you can keep it buttoned when you're interviewing someone until, if you're seated, until you get to the critical moment of the question, you go like this. You'll go, now, let me ask you.
Oh.
Like that.
Power.
That's when he gets serious.
That's a power move.
Scott Pelley's version of that over at 60 Minutes is, so you're saying. He takes the glasses off.
Can I tell you my version of that?
Yep.
Say something. No, I'm not going to do that.
I don't mind.
By the way, both of those guys, and I don't know if this is a problem with network news in general, but those guys are jacked. Like Pelley
Anderson?
And Cooper, jacked.
Guns. Pelley works out in his office to Fanfare for the Common Man. Bum, bum, bum.
That seems, if I may say so, somewhat fascistic. That actually.
Yeah.
But listen, CB, you guys are, what are you in late night? Number one?
What?
You're number one.
I think we are, yeah.
Yeah. So.
I don't know anymore. Doesn't really matter.
So. I just think it's so smart what CBS is doing. I just think it's. It's such a good move. Mm-hmm. To take this show off the air and then to also ruin your evening news and then reduce 60 Minutes to like six good ones. I think it's so smart. Mm-hmm. Here's what I believe they're doing.
Yes?
I think they're tanking for a draft pick. I think that's...
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
You have maintained such grace through this process. I would not have been able to...
Fun. I'm having fun with my friends. That's how. You get to come on here. I get to hear those guys, these lovely people. And you know what? I also learned how to, you know, do the job under a lot of pressure from this friend of mine named Jon Stewart. We started working together. I've done a late night show of my own for 21 years. You and I started working together 27 years ago.
Oh, dear God.
Look at those guys.
Let me see that. You know what? Widen out for a moment. I just want to see, can you get our faces in here? Now, we're in the wrong areas. So if I'm not mistaken, and again, this is no disrespect to me, but one of us has not aged as well as the other.
And I don't know about
this,
that.
This really looks like a double-blind study where they gave one of these people is getting age-defying peptides and the other one is getting a placebo. And if I may, and I mean no disrespect to myself.
No, not at all. Not at all.
I have gotten the placebo. Age, can I tell you this?
What?
Mark Twain once said this. I think it was an excellent quote. Time is a mother.
Yes. Yeah.
Look at
She's
everything.
A harsh mistress. You look fantastic.
Oh, it's so kind of you to say. I've been the, as you get older, your body, it changes, everything shifts around. You know what I find I don't look good in anymore?
What?
Pictures.
I'm not that thrilled about how I look on the radio.
Oh, stop. Yes. But I'll take pictures and I always have to say to Tracy, like, we'll take the picture and I'll go, is that what I look like? And, like, it's literally like the iPhone camera.
Yes.
And she's like, no. Mm-hmm. That's, I don't know what happened. It looks like a Japanese snow monkey snuck into our picture.
Yeah, but I disagree. I think you look very healthy. You look very healthy.
That's very kind.
You've got a tan, which I find offensive. You know, I look forward to having some marrow back in the bones.
Buddy, it's
because you're somebody who has left late night once or twice before.
Yes, sometimes on my own volition, sometimes not.
Yes.
Yes.
You've been fired.
Oh,
before.
I've been fired, buddy.
Talk to me. I haven't been fired yet. Tell me how
in your life?
No, I've been fired, but I've never lost a late night show before.
Oh, so it's the best.
Really? How about you were at the Paramount show.
I was at the Paramount show.
I was there for one of the last shows, actually.
Were you really?
I came there with, I think Higgins got us tickets.
Oh, Stevie Higgins.
Yeah.
Stevie Higgins was our head writer.
Yep.
And has been, you know, executive producing over at SNL for decades. And just a wonderful guy. And the whole family.
Yeah, wonderful folks.
Wonderful. But we got, the term back then was canned. I don't know what they call it now.
Yeah.
And they put security guards at the exits. We had two more weeks to go, and they put security guards at all the exits. Like I was going to run at a fax machine. We didn't have anything of value.
Jon Stewart is known for stripping buildings for copper to buy meth. Yeah, that's crazy.
Thank you for giving me that.
That was Paramount too, right?
Son of a bitch. Yes, it was.
Because Paramount it was syndicated by Paramount, right?
Let me tell you what happened. So David Ellison was 8 years old at the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And he walks into my office. Hey, you listen here, buddy. I can't even do the 8-year-old
That was very
voice.
Good. That was spooky.
Yeah.
That was
but they
good.
Did it. But the show spiraled so out of control.
Why?
In those last, because I was not a mature grown-up like you are holding it together. So we lost our
Wasn't Letterman one of your last guests?
Letterman was our last guest.
Very last guest.
He said to me something very profound. He said, don't confuse cancellation with failure. And I thought that was profound.
Uh-huh.
And then... Uh-huh. He said, don't confuse cancellation with failure. But then he said, but in this case, it is also a failure.
That's fair. Do you have a favorite? I mean, I got fired from things like construction jobs. Like, did you have anything that...
Oh, I've
been
fired.
What was your favorite being fired?
My first job ever was the first time I got fired.
What'd you do?
So I was it was in the heyday of malls had just made their appearance. It was like 1976, 1977.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And I got a job in the stock room at Woolworths.
if you remember.
You were a stock boy at Woolworths? What was FDR like, John? A stock boy at Woolworths? I ran a coal scuttle on a steam train.
Look, Stephen, you know, you can make your jokes, but people needed their penny candies. And who was going to fix their giant wheeled bicycles?
Okay, so you're a stock boy at Woolworths.
Yeah, and back then, Woolworths sold everything. I don't know what they do now, but, like, pets. Like,
honest to God.
You'd walk into a Woolworths.
Birds.
And there would be birds flying around that a stock boy had let loose by mistake. And it was giant.
Yeah.
So the stock room was the entire basement.
Uh-huh.
10,000 square feet.
Sure.
Filled with stock shelves. And this was at the advent of the beanbag chair, which was a tremendous... You guys have AI.
Science had recently invented the bag.
Oh. Science is that, what if we make a chair that has no shape? It could just be whatever your ass does to it.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
So, my friend George and I, who was also one of the stock boys, used to, it was also the advent of ABC Wide World of Sports and cliff diving. So.
Oh, no, Acapulco?
Acapulco cliff diving, my brother. We would pile up the beanbag chairs.
Of course you would.
Climb to the top of the stock shelves and half gainer, full gainer, double twist, flip. Here's the thing about beanbag chairs. They are not adhered to the ground in any way.
Uh-huh.
So if you hit wrong, you'd fire one across the floor. And one day I wiped out about $1,000 worth of aquariums.
With fish or empty?
Once I hit them, empty.
Okay, sure.
Now, a normal situation, if it wasn't maybe your first job,
you
might tell somebody that a terrible mistake had been made. In my situation, I thought, I have the key to the incinerator and the compactor. I'm just going to shovel this in there as fast as I can.
No.
Here's where it gets ugly. My boss at the time, the assistant manager at the Woolworths, is my older brother.
Well, you couldn't just go to him and say, I f***ed up and what do I do?
What kind of relationship do you have with your family? What? Share a vulnerable moment? No. No.
Oh.
I was one of these. I think I just destroyed a bunch of this stuff and tried to throw it in the incinerator. And he was like, well, tick-tock, mother punch your card and go home. And I was let go by... Wow. Have you ever been fired by someone? Went home for a consoling dinner, and there they were.
No. No.
Pass the mashed potatoes, traitor! How dare you, sir?
Well, it sounds like you handled that with enormous grace.
Oh, I was...
And I admire that so much.
Oh, pipe down, you.
All right.
I'm excited.
You know,
this is...
You know what?
I am old. No, I was just going to say that we are getting to the age... You know, someone is literally calling me right now.
And who it is?
I don't know
who it
is.
Who is it?
Oh, geez. All right.
Who is it? Who is it?
So here's... can I tell you what's very strange about that?
Yeah, who is it?
All right. That was my mother. Here's... She's 92 years old, so in 5 more years, she'll be CBS's target demographic. No, let me say this, though, about this. In CBS's defense, network television is built so that old people can solve fictional murders using forensics. That's the whole purpose of it. So she must have heard me.
Yes,
talking about my brother. She was going to call and just go, oh.
Yeah, the mommy senses were tingling.
Where are you?
So you now, sir, as I leave this the CBS family, the Paramount Skydance family, you now are the only person in the corporation left in late night. Good luck. You are. There used to be more of us. Now it's
That's
you.
That's chilling.
On Monday, this coming Monday, you're going to be the only one in late night for the CBS Paramount Skydance Corporation, and I am happy for you.
Here's the only saving grace that I think that I have is that I don't think Trump has cable. I really think.
I think it's a
network thing. I don't think it's basically. But let me tell you something.
Uh-huh.
And I truly mean this. And what upsets me about this situation is that, first of all, you're just a tremendous human and one of my favorite people. So that's all of that. But second of all, that I've seen your talents from Exit 57 to, you know,
you saw
Strangers
my talents
with candy,
in Exit 57?
To writing, to he can do whatever he wants to do. And but the ubiquitous bloviating of the commander in chief has put us all as defined as who we are in opposition to him.
That's right, yeah.
And it's just a ridiculous framing.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a minute portion of the joy machine that you call your show. And it's annoying. And let me say this, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, not just for this show, but for the country. The day, oh people, close your eyes and dream. The day that the electorate in this great nation we call home repudiates this putrid administration, the day that that happens, my brother, there will be, and I mean this, the day that that happens, there will be a joyful noise from the bowels of this great country that will make Hungary's repudiation of Orban look like an Amish Sabbath. And it's going to be. We are tired.
Yeah.
We are tired.
You can tell people are exhausted by it.
And your staff, I say something about... Your staff is also... They're
the best. They're extraordinary. Unbelievably
extraordinary.
Focused. Their own leaders. I admire them, and I'm so proud to be one of them.
Yes, ish. But the other thing about them is they are so game. You were kind enough to lend me your desk when I wasn't having a show, and you always said, if you ever get a wild hair about something,
sure,
come by the show, and we'll throw something together, and we'll do something. And I lived under the desk for a while, and...
Yep.
I would come out. Your staff is so competent and excellent, but also, almost more importantly, game. You said something so wise to me once, which was, get yourself in trouble. And it's an ethos about challenge yourself creatively, do all these things. And they would always do that. And I am, as you know famously, not a particularly good long-term planner. So I would challenge them. My last appearance on the show, right before I went back to The Daily Show, I talked and I said, wouldn't it be funny if we did a bit that showed where I had been living all this time as I had to move out?
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Yes.
And I always did it to Jay Ketzer, your head writer,
yes,
who was always my wingman
yeah.
on any of the bits.
Yes.
Fantastic guy, one of the most brilliant comedy writers, and
sure.
just lovely individual. So I'd call him the day before and I'd say, wouldn't it be funny if we show them that room? Sure, that'd be funny. Jay, wouldn't it also be funny if in that room I had, I don't know, a James Bond-like bookcase where I could pull a book and it would open. The bookcase would open, revealing more of my lair. Wouldn't that be funny, Jay? Sure. Jay, wouldn't it be funny if when it opened, it revealed that I'm raising alpacas?
Oh, I remember.
Wouldn't that be funny, Jay?
Mm-hmm.
I'm coming on the next day. I'll never forget. Jay Ketzer calls me at 11 o'clock at night. A little bit of edge in his voice.
Yeah, uh-huh. Rare for Jay.
And he says to me, they'll build the room, but the alpacas can't be here till 1.
That's why you're in show business.
That's why
you do one of these shows.
And that's why this show is the best. And you're the best. And you know what, Stephen?
Hold on.
I don't want, you know.
Now, I want you to know that every the conversations you had over there, they'd get to me. I'd get updates every so often. And I'm working on something like this, and I go, what's happening? Do we have an alpaca? I believe you asked for a llama, and, I, and they said, we can only get an alpaca. And I said, he won't know the difference. That'll be fine.
And I went home that night and said, you won't believe the they pulled on me today. That was no llama. That was a long-necked llama.
Here's, here, did you have more to say?
I was gonna.
Well, that's fine. I just want you to know that this will go online, right? We'll put this online.
Good.
But we're like so beyond the time we had allotted for you. And it was not a short amount of time.
No, no, no. And I understood. And here's the problem.
And by the way, I believe one question.
Yes.
I believe one question.
I am not a disciplined performer.
Yes.
So what
I don't want you to be. That's not why we love you.
Everybody has been coming up with a bit to sort of end their thing. They sang you a song. They wrote you a poem. They did all that. I am not talented. So I'm not doing any
not
of
true,
that.
But go ahead.
But and also, why do that? An ephemeral wind of nothing that blows away like humbug? No, you deserve something tangible, something that you have earned. You deserve a gift that befits the sacrifice and work that you have put into this show and that can show you the life you can lead and the life that I am leading now that I'm not really in show business. So, boys, bring it out. My man! Oh, are you gonna enjoy watching Matlock and this mother?
Oh.
And let me tell you something.
Oh.
Here's the thing.
Not right now, John. I'm gonna.
There you go.
I'm gonna hit the colonoscopy button and just.
Yeah. Oh, man. Here we go. Here we go.
Oh, it vibrates.
Yep. This is what I'm talking about. And is my guy coming up? Hold on. There we go.
There you
so,
go.
So, anybody can have one that has you know levers and fulcrums and stuff, but this doesn't do it. But I haven't really given you the fiesta la resistance of this. The thing about these chairs is as you get comfortable in them, you start to think to yourself, am I going to have to expend energy to get out of it? No. Steven, get ready for the ride of your life. Down, press the up button, press the up button.
Up button, okay.
Press it, press it. Press it and hold on, hold on, hold on, hold on, hold, 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 wait, wait, stop, 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 stop. No, you know what? No, no, no. This tribute isn't complete. Stephen, this tribute doesn't represent the joy that you brought to me as my friend and the joy that you've brought to this country.
Okay.
As one of its leading entertainers. No, what this moment needs is something so much more.
Uh-huh.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Miss Andra Day.
Because
My friends, you know my next Oscar award-winning guest because he has directed some of the most iconic films of all time. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Steven Spielberg. Well, there you go.
That's for you.
No, no,
that's
sir.
For you.
I can hear the V.
That's two.
I can hear the V.
That's two, Steven.
Steven, it's great to see you again.
Very happy.
Listen,
to be here.
I didn't know there were any more awards for you to win, but you recently wrapped up the big one. Earlier this year, you joined an exclusive club and became an EGOT, winning for producing the documentary Music by John Williams.
Yeah.
Well, congratulations on that. I assume the film Music by John Williams is extra special for you because it's about you and your longtime collaborator.
That's
here you
it.
Are.
Oh my God! Look at that! Look at
the Close look. Encounters of the Third Kind.
Wow! Wow! Well, yeah. Well, he's one of the most, as you know, you met him.
Yeah.
One of the most special people I have ever worked with. He is actually the greatest collaborator of my entire professional life.
Is he the back, only one who's done everything?
He's done everything. I've had a couple scores he didn't do because he was working on Star Wars. He was working on a couple
of other
films.
Thing.
That thing, yeah, yeah. But he has done, this is, Disclosure Day is the 30th score he's written for one of my films.
Now, when I interviewed you.
30th, it's crazy. Yeah.
It's a beautiful score.
Yeah.
But when I interviewed you both for Fablemans, I thought that was it. I thought Fablemans was the last one.
John thought it was the last one, too. He did. And he was really happy to retire. That was going to be it. He was not going to work for any other director. And then I knocked on his door again on this one. And I said, John, I want you to come back and do this. And so what John first did was he presented me with four other composers' names. He said, what about these people?
Yes.
And I said, John, you're still writing music? And he said, yes. You're still loving writing? Yes. Yes. Then please write my 30th movie with you.
Wow.
And he did. And
it's a great score. Composing for Spielberg is like being in the mafia. There's no getting out.
No.
No, there's no getting out.
No, I made him an offer he couldn't refuse.
There you go. Well, the film is highly anticipated. I've seen it. I don't want to give away too much, obviously, because there's so many wonderful moments in the film. I've seen it. Very beautiful. I was deeply moved by it. So many incredible performances in this. Emily Blunt, Josh O'Connor, Eve Hewson, Coleman Domingo, Colin Firth. I understand in this film, we have an exclusive clip here from Disclosure Day. Is there anything we need to know about this?
The clip, well, you know, the story is a chase. The story is a kind of race for the truth. It's a pursuit to take an entire archive of all the information about UFO and extraterrestrial visitation to this planet, beginning with Roswell in 1947, and the people who have been guarding these secrets and keeping these secrets away from the general public. The whistleblowers inside that organization have stolen the entire archive. And those who do not want the truth to be known go after them. And there's a couple of very important people in our story. Emily Blunt plays Margaret, and Josh O'Connor. They're both incredible together. But Josh O'Connor suddenly realizes that he knows a language that a week ago he didn't know he knew. And something has happened to both of these people that has imbued them with tremendous powers, not superhero Marvel DC type powers, but powers that we could all relate to, powers involving human connection and empathy, deep empathy. And this scene is where he admits that he suddenly understands something that a week ago he didn't even know anything about.
Yvonne?
Look at this. Do you understand what she's saying?
I hear her. It's gibberish. I can't understand it.
Okay, I just heard this for the first time, and I can't. It's English.
English?
I mean, it's math turned English in my head, translating the words. When I look at this, I hear this.
I love your description.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
I love the choice, not just the description, but I love the choice of empathy as a superpower in this.
Yeah.
Because there are many moments in this when Emily Blunt's character, without giving anything away, expresses this empathy toward people. And it doesn't just get them out of a tight bond at times. It actually changes the people to whom she is expressing this inner power of hers. And those are some of the most beautiful moments in the film.
I think if you become the person you're talking to, even if it's for 5 seconds, and in 5 seconds, you understand deeply everything this person's been through throughout their entire life before you come back to yourself, there would be a lot more cooperation between our own species on this planet.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Steven Spielberg, everybody. Stick around. Director of the new film, Disclosure Day. As Josh O'Connor's character is saying there, that the math that he's written out, to him, he sees that and he hears that language in this math. Math and music played a big part in communication in Close Encounters of the Third Kind in 1977. Right. How have your feelings about extraterrestrials and extraterrestrial encounters evolved over the last 49 years?
Well, I've been interested in everything involving, you know, what's out there. And the whole big question is, because I believe that certainly there is, you know, the cosmos is teeming with life. The big question is, has that life ever at any epoch in our history visited here? Mm-hmm. Or is that life currently interacting with us now, and has that life been interacting with us for many years? I've always been interested in this. When I made Close Encounters, for me, it was a story that I thought, wouldn't it be great when this movie comes out? Wouldn't it be great if people like this movie, they come out and they see Close Encounters? And wouldn't it be great if this someday could all come true? Wouldn't it be great if this could be true someday? And with everything that's happened from 1977 till today, I can now make Disclosure Day and say, isn't it going to be wonderful when people realize after seeing this movie that everything is true and has been true? Now, that's the big difference.
Steven Spielberg, I want you to be right.
I want to be right, too.
I want you to be right.
I want to be right.
I'm not. I want there to be aliens out there. What I want to know is, do you know things that we don't know, Spielberg?
I've been
asked
that question.
Are you sure? Because the government's dumping a lot of this alien stuff right now, right when your movie's coming out, and it seems pretty fishy, sir.
Yeah, they haven't dumped it on me.
I interviewed Obama recently about this, because I think you saw maybe he did an interview where he said, no, there's aliens out there.
I saw that.
And I asked him about it, and he did the old backpedal going, I hope there are aliens out there. And so obviously he's holding stuff back from us. But I said, who do you think should go represent us if they land here? And he goes, what about me? You know, he goes, I'm a nice guy. Who do you think should represent us? And keep in mind that I am available very soon.
You know, I think I should represent. I mean, my whole thing is I should be me.
Everybody wants the gig.
I love Barack. I love Barack. We're friends. I love him. I love his family. But he's had his 8 years, you know? I think the whole thing is, I made Close Encounters. My first alien movie, I was 17 years old. It was called Firelight in 8mm. I made E.T., and co-produced Men in Black. Yep. And War of the Worlds.
You're just bragging.
No, I'm not bragging. Here's the point I'm trying to make. I've made all these movies where I've kind of played an ambassadorial role. Mm-hmm. They've never shown themselves to me. Why is that? It's so unfair.
Wow.
It's so unfair.
Wow, they're afraid they'll use the footage and cut it into one of your films, and the cover will be blown.
Well, something like that. I don't have no idea, but I'm available, guys. Yes. You know?
You said just now, you mentioned... Yeah. That you made first alien film when you were 17 on Super 8 film.
Super 8 film.
And I'm just curious, are you a different director? I assume you're a different director. Has your love of film and the reason why you love it changed from when you were that boy making the films till now?
It's a
terrific question.
Thank you so much.
It's a terrific question.
That's all we have time
for. I'm not answering that question unless you get us another season.
Okay.
I think nobody, like, I don't know myself. Everybody thinks we know ourselves. We don't know ourselves. We evolve. We change. I've got 7 kids, 6 grandkids. The kids change you. You're different with each child. You're different each day as life goes on. You learn different things. You get wisdom points. Maybe you lose wisdom points. But in any case, the movies reflect who I am at any different point in my life. So whoever I was when I was 17 and whoever I am now, there's been a lot of differences. But the one thing that hasn't changed is my love for telling stories, my love for telling stories for an audience, for all of you, and my love for telling stories just because I like doing it, because it's a thing that I can't do anything else except that very well. This is what I do better than other things. I just feel that, you know, it was my, it's just something that I love to do, and that hasn't changed since I was a kid. The same joy of going to the set every day, the same breathless kind of anticipation and the scariness of going to the set every day, the stage fright, which I get even now when I'm making a movie, believe it or not, please believe it, it's true, is no different than when I first was a kid and started experimenting with 8mm. It hasn't changed.
Well, Stephen, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much.
Disclosure Day is in theaters June 12th. Steven Spielberg, everybody. Thank you for listening to The Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to The Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.